Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
Managers of mayhem. The American news media, tired of performing its usual duty, you know, telling the news, has launched a new form, reporting rumors and launching interminable discussions. Instead of the usual media icon of a talking head, they brought in talking heads, more mouths to discuss more and more nonsense. But that's not all. Their other new gig? Micromanaging political campaigns. When's the last time you heard questions like, well, what does candidate A have to do to please X constituency? I mean, what? Whatever happened to this happened, or that happened, or this is why that happened? News has become endless discussion over minutiae. Reports on people's feelings are the latest gadget that you just must have now. Or Hollywood gossip, or what the prince or princess or duke of England is wearing. It is mindless and mind-bending. And every day, every hour, there's breaking news. How about just news? It is painful for me to watch or listen to news these days. Too much razzle-dazzle, not enough news. This is a nation of over 310 million people. There's more than enough stories to tell. Just tell them. There are some 7 billion people in the world today. That's more than enough stories to tell. There are over 2 million prisoners in America. That's more than enough stories to tell. Let's tell them.
Outside of my window, the view that I see is a child and mama, and the child is begging for money. Tell me why the woman is blind. Is she so broke? The kid's stealing crime in such a beautiful city, but the world is burning it down.
The Clinton crew. One can hardly recall the Clinton years without becoming awash in a wave of exhaustion. For despite the rosy cast granted by the passage of time, it was in fact a time of immense loss, of constant worry, and social transformation, the effects of which are only dimly being perceived today. We must look at the era critically to see what was actually there, not to toss bouquets and incense over what was not, for in doing so, we can learn a bitter, unmistakable truth. Not all social transformation is a change for the better. And when it came to the Clinton era, the political ascendancy of William Jefferson Clinton, Esquire, there was, to be sure, change, but hardly change for the better. And this was not by mistake. It was by design. President Clinton ushered in the biggest change in habeas corpus since the Lincoln era, when in the throes of civil war, the president suspended habeas corpus for those who aided and abetted the Southern Confederacy. Lincoln was rebuffed by the court, which held in the Milligan case that when the courts are open, the executive could not dispense with a writ. As we shall see, Clinton was far more subversive. In the wake of the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma, Clinton pushed through what came to be called AEDPA, for the Anti-Terrorism Effective Death Penalty Act. It was hailed as a tool against terrorism and flew into law as the embers of Oklahoma were still warm. As with any law, it didn't end with terrorism, but became a tool used in everyday non-terrorism-related cases, and especially in death penalty cases. It did what no habeas corpus law had ever done in the nearly 700 years since its British origins. It exalted the findings of an inferior court, by that I mean a lower court, over that of an appellate or higher, in the American sense, federal court. The higher tribunal, composed of life-tenured judges nominated by the president and approved by a U.S. Senate majority and made by the Constitution, were to defer to the reasoning of local, state, and elected judges who often serve terms like any other politician. By this act, which on its face violates the letter and spirit of the Constitution, Clinton exalted the political over the judicial, to the detriment and ultimate destruction of the historical and practical essence of the writ of habeas corpus, what legal scholars have called, for over a century, the Great Writ. Today, habeas corpus is an obstacle course, one beset with trapdoors and swinging axes, the result of which has fed the dreaded prison-industrial complex by making it harder than ever to prove and prevail when a constitutional violation is made. We can't assume that Mr. Clinton didn't know what was going on, for Clinton was a law professor. He crafted a tool of mass repression that flipped habeas corpus on its head. This was politics, masked as law, to grant the state the power to close the door of the Great Writ and allow more convictions and longer prison terms and expand state power. Have you ever heard any politician say they would repeal AEDPA? Don't hold your breath. Clinton, the author of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which was later declared unconstitutional, was also the author and signatory to AEDPA, which is just as unconstitutional. In the Constitution, Article 6 is written, "The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land." Clinton elevated elected state judges, and by so doing, violated the oath he took as a lawyer and as president of the United States. He left immense suffering as his legacy and gave rise to the Prison House of Nations. From imprisoned nations, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
This live broadcast and archive chat room is being hosted by Roshani of the Single Simulcast.